lost without hope, no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Aren't you glad for that today? Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. And my orphan heart was given away. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Glad for his grace today. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. Amen. Was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt. He canceled my debt, and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, your grace so free washes all.
Worthy of all of our praise, and he is worthy of everything all the praise that we have to give him today. And he is capable of taking every minor piece of your life and putting it together into a tapestry that only he could do. All the pain, all the brokenness, all the victories, everything, we give it and we say, great are you, Lord. Would you join in worship this morning as we continue?
Love, you bring light to
that you are and everything that you're doing and you're going to do. You are our cornerstone. You are our rock that we build our life upon today. You are our only hope, our joy. Amen, church. Let's sing it out together. My hope is built on nothing less. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name.
Set
praise. We lift you up today. You are worthy of our worship, and you have declared and you have the victory on yourself that you bought for us on the cross. You wear the victor's crown. We give you praise today.
Thank you. Crosspoint, I'm Jess.
And I'm Blake. We're so glad that you've joined with us in worship today.
In just a moment, our ushers are going to come forward to prepare to receive our offerings. If you're a guest with us today, please don't give. We're just glad you're here.
There's a Crosspoint card in the seat back in front of you, and we'd love to know how we can serve you better. If you would fill that out, bring it back to our welcome table in the rear left of the auditorium at the close of service. We would love to offer you a gift bag just for joining with us today, along with a Tim Hortons gift card. We're so glad you're here.
It's a great time of the year here at Crosspoint, and here's a few of the exciting events we have coming up for you and your family. So check this out.
It's autumn once again, and that means it's time for our 10th annual Trunk or Treat, scheduled for October 28th, and we need your help. We're asking people just like you to donate individually wrapped candy. You can drop it off at our booth in the lobby, or you can help by giving up your trunk for just 2 hours on Saturday, October 28th, from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. In this high-energy and incredibly fun event, car trunks and truck beds are decorated in Halloween and harvest themes as children pass by and collect candy and play games. For more information on volunteering for this event, you can contact Pastor Steve at steve@crosspointbangor.com.
We're so excited about our upcoming missions emphasis beginning Sunday, October 15th, and continuing each Sunday through the 29th. Our theme this year is Give Me Your Eyes. We're asking God to challenge us all to see with His eyes as we look out into our world. There are so many needs around us, and God has equipped each and every one of us to do something in spreading His love and building His kingdom, both here in the greater Bangor area and around the world. We hope that you'll join us for this inspirational and challenging season for our church. Mark your calendars now for October 15th, 22nd, and 29th for an unforgettable time of challenge and inspiration as we all consider our part in building God's kingdom.
If you're interested in going deeper in your walk with God and your knowledge of the Bible, we're beginning an in-church Bible Institute that will meet on Tuesday mornings from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. or Tuesday evenings from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. that will take you through the entire Bible in just 3 years. There's a reasonable tuition fee to help cover the cost of materials, and more information can be found on our website, on our announcements page, or on our mobile app. Simply search CrossPoint Maine in your app store. This is a great opportunity to grow in your faith and become more proficient in the scriptures. For more information and class schedule, contact Pastor Jerry at pastor@crosspointbangor.com.
Thanks again for joining with us today. Whether in person or online, we hope that you leave refreshed and renewed in your relationship with God.
As always, you can stay up to date with all of our events on our website, crosspointbangor.com, or on our mobile app. We hope you have a great week.
My goodness, that's a good job. Wow, that is a great job. Sure is. Wow. I'll tell you, we are blessed here. You know that? It's almost not fair, actually. Boy, I'll tell you, that was great worship too, wasn't it? Boy, if you didn't sing or move, you're dead. I mean, somebody next to you just kind of elbow you a little bit, and man. Well, it's good to be home. We left Friday evening at 11:10 p.m. We flew an hour and a half to Yangon. Anybody know where Yangon is? No, a couple guesses. It's a Myanmar, the old Burma, country of Burma, you probably know it better as. And then we sat for about an hour and a half on the tarmac while some people got off and more people got on. And then we had a flight from Yangon, Myanmar, to Dubai, which is part of the UAE. There's 7 UAE Emirates, United Arab Emirates, 7 of them. And we were in Dubai for 3 hours. And then we flew 13 hours from Dubai to JFK. And yesterday we arrived in New York, and then we had a 7-hour layover in JFK. And then last night we flew into Bangor at about 11 o'clock. So if I say Jesus and mean Satan, you'll understand why today, okay? All right? But it was a short night, obviously, but those of you that have traveled overseas, you know what that's like. But we had a great time in Cambodia, no major problems. Everything went extremely well, and you would be proud of your church. You would be proud to be part of CrossPoint Church. We had 26 scheduled to go, and 24 ended up going. One of our medical doctors that was going to be our lead doctor had a medical emergency and had open heart surgery a couple of weeks ago, found out just the week we were leaving. Had some problems. Another one of our PAs, physician assistants, his wife had some problems with her pregnancy, and they had to fly to Philadelphia to take care of that. So we lost 2 of our 26, but we had 24, and we did 4 or 5 things. We gave out free medical glasses. We had an eye clinic, and I don't know how many glasses we gave out, hundreds. How many, Gary? Over 600 pair of eyeglasses. So we did over 600 eye exams. Our church, that remember the glasses we were collecting out in the foyer? All of those glasses went. So we gave out glasses, did eye exams. While that was going on, we did a medical clinic. You folks, our church bought all the medicine, and people came, and I don't know how many people we served, hundreds and hundreds. We'll have more details a little bit later once we put it all together, but hundreds and hundreds of people came to our medical clinics and villages around Cambodia. It was a wonderful experience, and just were able to help people to get some medicine. One neat thing about the eye clinic, before I get too far down the road, this is really a great testimony. This elderly lady came, and obviously she didn't see well. That's why she was coming to the eye clinic. And she was really concerned because her eyes had gotten bad, and she wasn't able to read her Bible anymore. And her eyes were tested, and they gave her those new pair of glasses, and she had this big smile on her face, and she said, "Thank you so much for coming. Now I can read my Bible again." I mean, it's just like, Pencil, you would have cried like a baby on that one. I know you would have. He would have. He'd have been a mess after that. But, you know, I tell you what, how awesome is that? We were way out in the villages of Cambodia, and people just don't really have much. And they were just so thankful to get eyeglasses. And then so while that was going on, the medical camp was going on, we had a VBS. Pastor Gary and Pastor Steve ran the Vacation Bible School Ministry, and, you know, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids heard about Jesus, and they played some games, sang songs, taught a Bible lesson, great, great experience. And then I was part of the construction team. I know that's a shocker. It was a shocker to me, too. But your pastor, no photo ops this time, painted, mixed cement, carried rocks. And right now my body's telling me it was no photo op. I'll tell you that right now. It was the real deal. But we had a great time. One church, we painted the whole inside, the whole outside, the whole thing. Whole kit and caboodle. We mixed cement and put bricks and made a wall. I mean, just did all kinds of things. I went to one church and they had purchased, I don't know how many, just rocks. So our job was to take those rocks and spread them out over the driveway. And wow, that was quite a day. I'm glad time went quick that day. But we had a great time. We had a wonderful time. I would encourage you that if you've never been with our church on a trip, we'd love for you to come. It'd be a great experience for you. You don't have to do anything. I'm living proof of that. If you can mix cement and you can carry rocks, you're qualified. We can use you in all the ministries. It's just a wonderful experience. I want to give you a story of one lady. The last day of our medical clinic, when we were out in the village, she came and our medical staff looked at her, and she was very bloated, very bloated, really bad. Just a small little lady. She looked actually 9 months pregnant. That's more like 10 months pregnant, like way overdue. But that wasn't the problem. She wasn't pregnant. She was filled up with fluid, full of fluids. Her kidneys and liver were not functioning correctly. So the medical staff came to me and said, "Pastor, we got to get this lady to the hospital. She's going to die." So another pastor who drives the van, we took a vehicle and we took her husband and child. We drove 2 hours to Phnom Penh in Cambodia, where the government hospital was. And we took her in and went through all the tests. And she got x-rays, an echocardiogram. She had blood work. And she saw the doctor for $66, pretty cheap. And so the doctor was talking to her. I was standing there. I didn't understand it, but later on, the driver, the pastor, translated for me and told her what was said. I go, "What did the doctor say?" The doctor said, according to him, the doctor said, "If you go home, you're going to die. You will die." Because she just wanted to get some medicine and go home. Well, she had to be drained of all those fluids. So the doctor said to her, "If you want to live, you need to go in the hospital." Of course, they didn't have any money to go to the hospital to begin with, so Cross Point Church paid for the hospital. It was, don't worry, it was only $10 a night. So we paid for the hospital. We paid for more medicine. We gave them a couple $100 for food and transportation to get back to the province and however long she needed to be in the hospital. Well, we found out that she'd been in the hospital a year ago. She's had this ongoing problem. And the husband had sold some land, wasn't very much land, to pay for the 15 days. But sadly, after she ran out of money, the doctors told her she had to leave. So for the last year, she's had no medical care at all. So we don't know whether she's going to make it. Humanly speaking, she probably won't make it, but at least we were able to give her and her family some relief and some more time together, which was very, very good. And obviously, her life is going to be changed here very, very soon. But those are the things that we do. And I just want you guys to know thank you for all of your giving and just thinking about us. It was a great, great trip. And we, those that have never gone on trips have memories that they will take forever. So we praise the Lord for that. You know, everywhere I travel in the world, and it's extensive, and I'm very blessed to be part of this church that allows me to travel and see the world. What I experience is something awesome, and it's this, that wherever you go, there are God's people. And they're just like we are. They have their challenges, different kinds of challenges, but they have their challenges like we have our challenges. And it's good to be able to connect with brothers and sisters around the world who know Jesus. And there's a sweet spirit when you meet people that know God. Because the Bible tells us that His Spirit in Romans 8:16 bears with our spirit. And that's a wonderful experience to have. So with that being said, just thank you so very much. And we'll probably show some pictures here in a couple of weeks, maybe during the missions conference, while we have a little bit more time. We're still kind of sorting everything out. So let's have a word of prayer. And then I want to take just a few moments this morning to talk about Joseph, maybe bring out some things you maybe not have thought about before. Talk a little bit today about disillusionment. There's a lot of people that are disillusioned, which is really too bad. Would you pray with me? Father, bless this lesson today. Thank you, God, for giving us another week of life to serve you. Lord, you are a good God. Sadly, we're surrounded by a difficult environment and people that are not real good. But Lord, you're a great and wonderful and good God. So Lord, bless every family that is here today. Might your love just encompass them and surround them. Might they experience something today, maybe for the first time, whether it be salvation, whether it drawing into sweet fellowship with you, whether it be discipleship. Lord, whatever it might be, we just pray, God, that we'd be changed from being here today. Bless now as we open your word, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we hear a lot about victims. That seems to be a buzzword and something that we hear a lot about today, being a victim in our culture. Today I want to talk to you about somebody who really was a victim. And that, of course, was Joseph, who was a victim. He found himself in a precarious situation, actually many situations that he'd not bring upon himself. In 1 Peter chapter 2, just one verse I want to share with you quickly as we get going, then I want to share another one with you as well. For what credit is there when you sin and are harshly treated? I mean, that's basically saying you get what you deserve. And even if you endure it with patience, I mean, there's no reward in that because that's what you get for what you've done. But notice this last part. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. And that's what we want to spend a couple of moments on today, talking about Joseph, who suffered for doing what was right. He endured it patiently, and God smiled on his life. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, a verse that some of you might be familiar with, and it goes something like this: For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You know, sometimes we read these verses, we don't put a lot of thought into it, but I am so thankful that this verse is true. Because there are times in our lives in which we go through things that we can't fully understand. In fact, sometimes it's years down the road before we're able to put the pieces together. And in some situations, we will not fully understand how God was involved until we get to heaven. But rest assured, God is always involved. He's always involved. Well, with that being said, if anyone that has ever lived knew about unfair treatment, I think Joseph would be at the top of the list. Joseph understood what it was like to be treated unfairly. First of all, he received unfair treatment from his family. Probably many of you, to a certain degree, would be able to say that they have received some unfair treatment from their family. Maybe you've changed religions, denominations. Maybe some other area of your life, you've become the black sheep of the family. The black sheep of the family. And that's a difficult place to be, especially when you didn't deserve to be the black sheep of the family. But yet you find yourself in that precarious situation. His brothers hated him. His brothers tried to kill him. In fact, if it wasn't for one particular brother, they probably would have killed him. And he said, well, I think maybe we shouldn't do that. Let's just sell him into slavery. And so received unfair treatment from his family. Second of all, his circumstances were unexpectedly restricted. You say, what do you mean, Jerry? Well, at 17 years of age, instead of killing him, they sold him. And all of a sudden, he found himself at a young age, a teenager, in a culture in which he was not familiar with and not able to speak a language that was predominant in that culture. Imagine for just a moment being in his place, being taken in a wagon or maybe walked with chains around him, maybe taken in a cage on the back of a cart, and there he was, a teenager, all alone, going to a place that he probably had never been, experiencing a culture and a language he was not familiar with, and wondering what would happen. Thinking about his father, his family, probably wasn't thinking too highly of his brothers at this particular time, but he was thinking about his father, wondering would I ever see him again, wondering would I ever be reunited with my family again, wondering if I would be tortured or how I would be treated. Some of these things we don't really stop and process. And yet sometimes we become unexpectedly restricted emotionally, sometimes physically, spiritually, maybe through abuse or some other way. We find ourselves in no man's land like Joseph. And then his circumstances, as we said, were unexpectedly restricted, and then he was falsely accused. You don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever been falsely accused? Anybody ever written anything on Facebook about you that wasn't true? Tweeted something out about you that wasn't true? Gossiped about you that wasn't true? Makes you feel really good, doesn't it? Hurts. It's painful. In the story of Joseph, Potiphar's wife, she makes advances on him and he does not submit, and she makes up a lie and he finds himself in prison through somebody that had lied. And sometimes we suffer untrue accusations. Today, what's prominent now is we're all familiar with is what? Fake news. I mean, it's really sad watching the news, whether online or live, and for the most part, you kind of wonder, is that true or that isn't true or is that true? And we're in a situation now where everything we hear and we read is no longer what it seems to be at times. And that's not a good place to be. And then he was unjustly put in prison and abandoned. And now we find the story that I want to talk about briefly in his late 20s. He had some good times in Potiphar's house as he was elevated to be the leader of the house, but finds himself abandoned and finds himself in prison through being falsely accused. He finds himself in unexpected, restricted circumstances. He finds himself once again unfairly treated from not only his family, but now his employer. And maybe you've been there. When we encounter him, we find that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 39 that through all of these circumstances, that the Lord is still with him. Aren't you glad no matter what circumstance we find ourselves, that God is with us? I find fascinating about Joseph, through all the things that he went through, he held faithful to God. I often wonder if I would have been put in Joseph's circumstance, what would I do? I mean, we all can say, well, I would stand tough, I wouldn't crack, I would be faithful. That's a lot easier said than done, amen, church? But Joseph, in fact, stayed faithful. He did not waver. He stayed true to form, which is an amazing accomplishment. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, some of you maybe have heard that name. You may not know a lot about him. He actually, in World War II, was a Russian military officer. And while he was a Russian military officer, he began to see some of the atrocity of his own Russian soldiers in the Russian army. In fact, if you take time to Google and read a little bit about him, you'll find out that He said, maybe we're not much different than the Nazis. Talks about one account where he saw Russian soldiers just horrifically rape this particular woman, thinking that she was a German, later to find out that she actually was Polish and was on their side. He began to have a lot of unrest, and he grew up with a religious background and had gotten away from it. And while in the military, he was a very cruel person, but there was something deep inside of him that kept stirring and changing, and it bothered his conscience and it bothered him as somebody that had a religious background. And in fact, I want to read just a short clip from his book entitled The Gulag Archipelago, which really talks about his stay in the Russian gulags, the Russian prisons for political prisoners. You see, he began to write and send things out about the atrocities of the Russian army, and it was found out, and because of that, he was sentenced to 8 years in the gulags there. And this is what he said. He said, in the intoxication of youthful successes, I had felt myself to be infallible, and I was therefore cruel. So he begins to share about the kind of person that he was. And he said, I was therefore in a situation where I began to do some self-introspection. When I was powerful, he said, I was a murderer and I was an oppressor. In my most evil moments, I was convinced that I was doing good. And I was well supplied with systematic arguments. And it was only when I lay there on rotting prison straw that I sensed within myself the first stirrings of good. Gradually, it was disclosed to me that the line separating good and evil passes not through states. It does not pass through classes of people, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts. So bless you, prison, for having been in my life. You imagine making a statement like that? So bless you, prison, for being in my life. You see, it wasn't until Solzhenitsyn came to really find out who he was as a person, when he was in the depth of his pain and loneliness and isolation, that he realized, in fact, that he was a cruel person. That, in fact, his faith was important. And there was a difference between right and wrong. There was a difference between good and evil. And there's where he began to change as a person. Joseph found himself also being a prisoner. There were two other people that were put in prison with him, a cupbearer and a baker. Some of you might know the story. They began to have dreams, and they wanted the dreams interpreted, and Joseph volunteered to interpret the dreams. And the cupbearer had been put in prison along with the baker of Pharaoh. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot of details about that at all, so we can kind of just speculate that apparently they might have been in cahoots together and did something so inappropriate that they found themselves in prison. The baker, obviously, one was the one that cooked the food, and obviously the cupbearer was the one that tasted the drinks and probably some of the food as well for the Pharaoh to make sure it wasn't poisoned. And they find themselves in prison. The cupbearer has a dream, and he dreams this vine, and off this vine there are three branches, and at the end of the branch it tells us that it blossomed and there were grapes. And he goes on to talk about how he sees himself once again giving Pharaoh the cup after tasting. And Joseph tells him, he says, well, the three branches are for 3 days, and you're going to get out of here, and once again you're going to be restored to your former job. The baker comes in, he says, well, I have had a dream too, and I've got three baskets on my head, and the top basket's full of bread, and there are birds that are eating the bread. And Joseph says, well, Your dream simply means that in 3 days you'll also be released, but sadly, you're going to lose your life. And sure enough, 3 days later, that's exactly what happens. There's a party that needs people, and both of them are taken out of prison. And just like Joseph had said, the cupbearer is restored to his job, but the baker is hung, and he's gone, and he dies. And sometimes in our disillusionment, sometimes in our pain, is when we hear and we experience God in a very special and real way that we don't do in normal times. In fact, C.S. Lewis, I've used this quote oftentimes, but it's so important here. God whispers to us in our pleasures. God speaks to us in our conscience. But aren't you glad, church, that God shouts to us in our pain? In the depth of our pain, in the depth of our trial, when there's no one else that can hear us, and really there may not be anybody that cares, surely no one else can help us. It's there where God makes himself real and present. C.S. Lewis with this great quote, and I'm sure Solzhenitsyn found the same thing, and I'm sure Joseph did as well. In their greatest time of pain, God shouted the loudest. And maybe you, my friend, are right now in that depth of pain in which no one else can understand, no one else can connect the dots. But you're there, but I would attest to you, but it's there where possibly you will draw your closest to God during that time. In closing, I want to make a couple of points about disillusionment. We'll show the next slide to give you that. One of the causes of complete disillusionment in our lives, sadly, is putting one complete hope and trust in people. It doesn't mean that we don't have hope in people. It doesn't mean that we don't trust people. But there's a word in this sentence that kind of jumps out at us, and it's the word what? Complete. If you're here today and you're disillusioned, if you're here today and you're struggling in your pain, it's probably because you've been hurt by a person or persons. I think we've all been there to one degree or another, some obviously to a greater effect than others. And we can become disillusioned in our faith. We can be disillusioned in our family. We can be disillusioned in our career. We can get disillusioned with God because we've been hurt by maybe a spouse or a son or daughter or a friend at work or a pastor or a deacon or even a church. And sometimes we get to the place where we just want to give up, or maybe you're here today and you have given up. And you just thought, well, I'll just go to church today. It's kind of the right thing to do. And you find yourself here today and you would echo and voice, boy, Jerry, you've kind of hit me right between the eyes because I'm really struggling with this disillusionment. And we want to put so much trust in people because we love them and we care about them. But yet the reality of it is that there's a good chance that they may hurt you. As a pastor, I can say unequivocally that some of the people that have hurt me the most, I've also helped the most. Have you ever experienced that yourself, where you've poured life and resources into people? And they've come back to bite you the greatest. So how did Joseph do it? How in the world did people like Solzhenitsyn do it and others? Well, let me show you this last comment, and I think that kind of sums it up for us. There's only one cure for disillusionment. It's putting our complete hope and trust, not in people, we're not anti-people, but people will fail you, but aren't you glad that God never will? You see, all during Joseph's time, and if you want to take some time out of your schedule this week, you can read the last 13 chapters of Genesis. And you can read about Joseph. And you can read about his abandonment by his family. And the false accusations by Potiphar's wife. And being put into prison unjustly as an innocent person. Joseph had all the right, humanly speaking, and he had the willpower, humanly speaking, to to take revenge against his brothers for what they did, but he forgave them. And all through his experiences, we never have Joseph looked at as a negative way. There's nothing recorded in those chapters that tell us that he wavered from his faith, but he stood strong. And I think maybe he was able to do that is because he understood that people will fail, but the living God is always faithful. There are people strung out all over our city that have been disillusioned with people that no longer serve God, sadly and destructively. And I would encourage you today as your pastor, but more importantly as your friend, I would really encourage you today that if your eyes are only on people, you will not make it in the Christian walk. Oh, you may still be in church, but you're just going through the motions. Because of your disillusionment, you're not really willing to give, like this statement says. You will not put complete hope and trust in God. But until you do that, you'll never find peace. You'll struggle. You'll be disillusioned. You'll be hurt again and again and again. And all of us will be hurt again and again and again. And that's why it's so important that we keep our eyes focused and fixed square on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. It seems so simple, doesn't it? Why is it so hard to do? Have you ever thought about that? Because our flesh enjoys that aspect of revenge, that aspect of hurting others. But through it all, Joseph remained somebody who was not revengeful. I often wonder what I would have done if I would have been in Joseph's place and I would have been reunited with my brothers and had the power, the second most powerful person in all the world. If I had all that power, what would I do to them? Looking back now, many, many years before, over 20 years before, where they had mocked me and beaten me and thrown me in a pit and then sold me into slavery. Not only that, but what could I have done to Potiphar's wife? Could have taken her and had her strung up as well. But yet through it all, he forgave. An amazing story. Amazing example for us to follow. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us that the Old Testament was given for our ensample, our example that we could learn by. And it only happens when we put our trust, our complete hope and trust in a powerful God and recognizing that his ways are not my ways. You say, Jerry, wasn't there a different way for Joseph to become the leader of the world in the area of distributing food? Distributing food? Well, I'm sure there was. But God had his reason for allowing Joseph to go and walk through the journey that he did. Think of your own life and where you are today and some of the things that you've gone through. I mean, couldn't you say, God, wasn't there a different way? God, wasn't there an easier way? And there may have been, but it wasn't God's way. Because the Bible says, as we've already read, God's ways are not my and God's thoughts are not my. One of the things I relish is one day standing before God and say, God, would you just explain to me why? I don't doubt, just why. I mean, what was your thinking? What was your reasoning? And then have God kind of explain all that to us. Say, okay, now I get it. That makes sense. You know, at Cross Point Church, we find that there are people that are disillusioned about religion and God because of what they read, by what they see. But I would attest to you that if we could take the church and we can kind of put it outside the door for just a moment, we can take all of God's people, that's us, and we could put us out of the door just for a moment, and we could make it just you and God. There's a God that really loves you. If you could take your eyes off people for just a moment and focus in on a supernatural, all-powerful, all-omniscient, all-loving God who sent his son to the earth to give his life as a ransom, to pay the sin debt of the entire world, including you and me. And that God wants you to spend eternity in heaven. We have a prayer that we use at Cross Point. It's called the Sinner's Prayer. It says, Jesus, I know that you are the Savior of the world who died on the cross to forgive me of my sin. Right now, I ask you, God, to forgive me of all my sins and come into my life and save my soul. I want you to stand with me for just a moment. Father, bless now these next few moments. Open our hearts and minds to receive the things that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You could be here this morning and you're disillusioned with God and religion. I get that. You say, Jerry, you know, I know these people. They claim to be Christians and I know them and I know what they've done. Okay, I agree. You're right. But put all that aside for just a moment. Let me put it to you this way. If you were to die 2 weeks from today or 3 weeks from today or a year from now or 10 years from now or next week or tomorrow, would you go to heaven? You see, all of those people that you've got your eyes on have no bearing on whether or not you go to heaven. The reality of it is that Jesus loves you and that God offers you eternal life. And if you will repent of your sin, if you will be willing to acknowledge that you are a sinner and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God's Son who came in the flesh and died and was buried and was raised from the dead, if you believe by faith, then Jesus Christ will forgive you of your sin and the Holy Spirit of God will come into your life and give you eternal life. And that's what this prayer is about on the screen. If you've never done that, I would encourage you to do that. Maybe you're here this morning and you're disillusioned. You'd say, Pastor, I hear you, but you know what? You don't realize how hurt. Well, you're probably right. I might not. But God does. God knows you're hurt. God understands like no one else. In fact, the Bible says he was tested and tempted in all points of the law, but yet without what, church? Sin. Jesus is our high great priest, our great high priest. He understands. He cares. And maybe today would be a great day for you with that disillusionment that you're fighting with, that pastor that hurt you, or that church, or that spouse, or that son, or that daughter, or that uncle, or that father, or that mother, or that boss, is maybe today you could begin to put your complete hope in Jesus and get your eyes and your minds off that circumstance or that person. And that you might even come to the place where even today during this service you could say, God, I forgive them. And I'm ready to move on and get my eyes off the situation and put my eyes on you. I didn't say it was easy. Maybe you're not ready today to do that. But I can't imagine anybody in here going anything worse through in their life than Joseph did. Maybe so, maybe not. But I'm glad that God cares for us, aren't you, church? Pastor Gary is here this morning. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, he'd be happy to do that. If you'd like to come down front on your own and just kneel and spend some time with God, you're welcome to do that. But at the very least, would you take time this morning? I guess now it's the afternoon, at your chair where you're sitting. And just spend some time with God and be honest and say, God, I'm disillusioned. God, I've given up. God, I'm really hurt. Because you see, it's affecting you. It's affecting your your daily life with your family, your job, and your spiritual life, and your church life. It's affecting you, your attitude. Every time you see the glass, it's half empty and half instead of half full. And today, I would just to encourage you to say, if Joseph could do it, then I can do it.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Cross Point Church today. It's such a blessing to have people like you tuning in on a regular basis. And by the way, if this is your first time joining us, thank you. Would you let us know by way of email or a phone call or drop us a letter or maybe drop by the church, any way that you seem appropriate, would you let us know today if you've made a personal decision either to draw closer to God or even more importantly, if you made a decision today to receive Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior, I would love to know that. I'd love to send you materials or put materials in your hand so you can grow closer to God. Email us, let us know. We would love to have that information. And by the way, join us again on another broadcast right here. God bless and have a wonderful day.